Hi, everybody. Welcome to Core Light Spiritual Weather Report. It is April 30th, 2023. This is Brad, and I'm here in South Africa, Blato River Canyon, South Africa. And I just get so excited about these monthly calls. I can feel the energy building in the days leading up to it, and I can feel the field of love that's building and that we all hold together. And especially during these calls, there's something special about the live. I know many people listen to the recording, but there's something special about the live. To be in this field live with you wherever you are in the world, there's something very activating about it, let's say. I hope you can feel it too. Anyway, I'm feeling very joyful right now to just know that we're all together. So I want to welcome everybody who's new to Core Light and welcome all of our old friends too. I have to say it feels like lifetimes since we've connected on a spiritual weather report, but really it's only been since February. We skipped March because I was leading the Spiritual Warrior Training course online. I'm happy to say that went very well. For anybody who couldn't join us, can just know that it's still available if you're interested. It's sitting there on our website. You can join and listen to the recordings. It's available till the end of June, so you still have 2 months. And it's at corelight.org. We did 5 live Zoom calls, which were very special. It was questions and answers and also just some additional information I was guided to share, some stories and things. And anyway, I was so excited to be able to offer it. And I know most of you have already taken the course. We've offered it for over 30 years, but it's offered in a new way now because times have changed so much. So we've re-presenced the course. And anyway, I don't want to belabor the point, but just know that it's there if you're interested. If you've already taken it and you want to see the new version, there are some added videos and things, and we have a discount for people who've taken the course already. If you didn't get that email, you can contact us and we'll give it to you, give you the discount. You can reach us at courses@corelight.org. So I wanted to tell you all, this is a very interesting month for the Spiritual Weather Report. Something new and different happened for me. In case you're new, what I do is I always tune in each month on what's happening in the collective consciousness, and I'm always shown a few themes to talk about on these calls. And it was very interesting when I tuned in this month because it was different from the way it usually works for me. Usually I get several different topics, but this month there was just one main topic, and then there were some sort of subtopics. They're all related to the main one. And the main topic for this month is, what is the role of censorship in the Great Awakening? So I thought that was really interesting. Some really interesting information came through about that. And the 4 related topics, the subtopics are, what is the role of the inner censor in our personal awakening? The power of discernment. The importance of developing courage. And we're going to do a transformational exercise for our awakening at the end of the call. So before we get started on that, I also just wanted to mention it's a very powerful time. It's a very intense time astrologically and energetically. There's some, let's say, global initiatory energies that are coming in right now. And we won't have time to go into that too much today because I know the topic is going to be, it's going to fill the time we have. But some of the interesting astrology includes Wesak, the Wesak celebration. It's a Buddhist celebration. It's the full moon of May. It's May 5th coming up. I believe it's this Friday. And that's the celebration of the Buddha's birth, death, and enlightenment. And it's always a powerful time to do ceremony, to meditate, to take advantage of the powerful full moon energies coming in May, one of the power moments of the year. So I know there are some groups calling for global meditations tomorrow, Monday, May 1st. It has to do with astrology, but it also has to do with these energies that are arriving now that are very powerful and initiatory. So we can affect global change in a more accelerated way. Let's say, I was going to say exponential, but it's certainly accelerated. And if we practice our meditation more than normal, do ceremony more than normal, tune in more than normal this month, but especially tomorrow, Monday, May 1st, I think that's a peak moment of these initiatory energies coming in. So we can amplify that with our own meditations. So I know I'm going to spend extra time in meditation tomorrow, Monday, May 1st. And if you're listening to this recording and it's after Monday, May 1st, there's still WESOC on May 5th. And then the whole month, these energies are going to continue to roll in. So I would just say the whole month is a time where we can amplify, we can accelerate the changes that are happening on Earth that we are ushering in, that we want to usher in. So I just wanted to quickly share that with you before we actually dive into the topic today. So for anybody who's new to the Spiritual Weather Report calls, I start by offering a guided meditation, and then I'll speak about the prevailing energies that are affecting us and also about the spiritual principles that are most helpful for us right now. And then there's time at the end for questions and answers, and we always close with a very brief prayer or guided meditation or whatever we have time for. And if you need to leave before the call ends, you can always listen to the recording later. We do send out the link to our email list, and it's also posted on YouTube. It's also posted on our free resources page at corelight.org. And it's usually up within about 24 hours or less from this time that it begins. Okay, without further ado, I would like to start with our guided meditation. So I invite you to get comfortable, have a seat or lie down. I know sometimes everybody needs to multitask during these calls, but this is a good time to just relax and meditate. So I invite you to get comfortable, close your eyes, and take a few long, slow, deep breaths. And just relax and let go. Breathing in the light and the life force that surrounds you. And breathing out any tension in the body. Breathing in peace. Breathing out stress. Breathing in love. Breathing out fear. Breathing in the present moment. And breathing out any worries about the past or the future. Just relaxing and letting go. Nowhere to go, nothing to do. Just being right here, right now. Giving yourself the gift of your time for your spiritual journey. So now, as we always do, let's do a muscular relaxation from head to toes. I invite you to feel and visualize warm, viscous liquid like honey pouring over the top of your head, just melting all the stress, all the tension in the scalp. Feel it pouring over your forehead and your eyebrows and down over your eye sockets. Just relaxing all of the many tiny little muscles around the eyes. It's a place where we hold on to a lot of tension. So feel eyelids relaxing, muscles around the eyes relaxing, the eyeballs relaxing, muscles behind the eyes relaxing. And just allow your eyes to relax so much that the eyeballs just gently fall back into their sockets and relax and let go. And feel the warm honey pouring over the back of your head and your temples, over your ears and your cheeks and your nose, down over your mouth and your jaw, relaxing the back of the tongue. Just feel all the muscles in the head completely letting go. Such a peaceful feeling. And then feel this warm honey pouring over your neck and shoulders, pouring down your arms, relaxing all of the muscles along the way, all the way down to your fingertips. Feel the honey pouring over your chest and your upper back, down over the diaphragm, especially relaxing the diaphragm. It's a place where we hold on to a lot of tension. So let's do a few long, slow, deep breaths all the way down to the diaphragm. And exhaling any tension that you're holding on to in the diaphragm. And let's do a few more of those. Filling the lungs up fully, fully, fully with air, completely filling up the lungs so much that you very, very gently stretch the diaphragm just a little bit and then release. And a few more. Let's breathe in light through the top of the head all the way down to the diaphragm. Just gently stretching the diaphragm a little bit and then releasing the air and relaxing. One more. Long, slow, deep breath, breathing light into the top of your head, all the way down to the diaphragm, filling up the lungs very fully, fully with air, stretching the diaphragm just a little bit, very gently, and releasing with the exhale. Feel how that opens up an energetic flow. In the body. And let's continue to feel the warm honey pouring down over the body, down past the diaphragm, over the abdomen, the whole stomach area, down the lower back, just relaxing all of the organs and the lower back, pouring down over the pelvis, relaxing all the muscles of the pelvic region, genitals, the buttocks, the psoas muscles that run down the front of the hips, right and left. And let's take a few moments to breathe all the way down to the pelvis. Breathe light into the top of your head, all the way down to the pelvis, relaxing the psoas muscles, and then exhaling. And let's do a few of those. Long, slow, deep inhale, breathing the light all the way down to the pelvis, filling the pelvis up with beautiful golden white light, feeling the muscles of the psoas area relaxing. Just letting go. And now let's feel the honey continuing to pour down over the legs, over the thighs and the hamstrings, down over the knees, just melting all the tension we hold on to, like butter melting in the warm sun, pouring down over the shins and the calves, all the way down to the toes. And let's do one more set of breaths, breathing light all the way from the top of the head down to the toes. Breathing it in, feeling it going all the way down to your toes with the inhale, and then with the exhale, releasing any tension in the body. Let's do a couple more of those. Breathing light in through the top of the head all the way down to the tips of the toes. And then releasing any tension that you might be holding on to anywhere in the body. And one more breath, just like that. Light in through the top of the head with the inhale, all the way down to the toes, and then exhaling any tension in the body. And now I invite you to gently bring your awareness to the root chakra. If you're new to this and you don't know where that is, it is between the anus and the genitals at the perineum. And when we just gently bring our attention there, we can feel how the root chakra naturally relaxes and releases. So just allow that, just allow the tension to release, relax, and let go. And if you can tune in to the subtle energy of the root chakra, feel how it naturally opens. It's okay if you can't feel the subtle body. That's totally fine. You can just set your intention that you'd like to one day, and you will. And meanwhile, you can just visualize. And now let's drop our grounding cord from the root chakra all the way down to the center of the earth, wrapping the root chakra cord, the cord of light around the core of the earth, commingling your energy with the core of the earth. What does that feel like to you? Does it feel grounding, balancing, and healing? As you feel this, just allow gravity to gently pull your physical body down towards the earth and feel the support of Mother Earth beneath you in the form of the chair and the floor. And just completely relax into the embrace of Mother Earth. Just feeling so safe, cradled in her arms like a little baby, just completely relaxed, completely letting go. feeling completely nurtured and held by Mother Earth. And let's take a couple of long, slow, deep breaths, breathing light into the top of the head all the way down to the core of the earth. Feel it going through your whole body, through your feet, all the way down to the core. And with the exhale, let's breathe the earth energy from the core of the earth up through the soles of the feet and up and out, back out the top of the head. Let's do a few breaths like this. Breathing in celestial energy and light, golden white light through the top of the head. Breathing it all the way down to the core of the earth through the body. And with the exhale, breathing those beautiful grounding earth energies up through the soles of the feet, through the legs, up the torso, and out the top of the head, out into formless space. Well, it's like you're connecting the celestial realms with the terrestrial realms through your physical body. So let's just keep practicing this for a few moments. And as you do, feel how your body is the connection point between the heavens and earth. Feel how your body is like a midpoint between heaven and earth. Feel how your energy is like an acupuncture needle on the earth. Creating a healing effect for the earth. So now let's add something to the exercise. When we breathe in through the top of the head, breathing in the celestial energies, add your love to the breath as you breathe it down into the earth. Feel your love pouring down into the earth, all the way to the core of the earth. You might bring a smile to your face, just knowing how much you love breathing, you love being a human on planet Earth, even if you don't. I know some of us are in resistance to being in a human body on Earth, but this is a great exercise if that's you. I invite you to feel your love of your body, your love of earth, and your love of spirit. So let's breathe the love of spirit in through the top of the head and add our love to the breath and breathe it right down into the core of the earth. And then on the exhale, feel your love of the earth and breathe that with the exhale up into your body, out the top of your head, adding your love to the breath and sending it out into formless space. Adding your love of earth to that breath. What a beautiful earth she is, Mother Gaia. So I'll be quiet for a few moments, and I just invite you to do this practice a few more times. And while you do, after the silence, I'm just going to start with a prayer and an invocation for our call today. after a few moments of silence. As you breathe and relax, you can continue while I speak. We call on Great Spirit, Divine Mother, Father God, the Self that we all are. We call on all of our spiritual guides and teachers who surround us in the highest love, the highest light. We ask that you please surround us in a beautiful cocoon of golden white light and love, healing energy. Guide our conversation today into the highest love and the highest wisdom, and hold our hands as we walk out into the world to fulfill our soul's highest purpose. And we recognize that it doesn't matter if we're listening to the call live or in the future, because at this level of love and light, there really is no such thing as time and space. And so we are all together in this beautiful field of love, no matter when in 3D time we're listening to this recording or whether we're participating live. We're all together. So you're live in the future. Many of you. And we give thanks for this opportunity to be together today, for all that we receive, all the love and the light that we receive. We give thanks for the gift of these bodies that we get to wear, and for this extraordinary time that we're living in on this exquisitely beautiful blue planet, fragile blue planet, this pivoting between the ages. We are probably the last generation that will remember the system of separation in its full glory. It may take a long time for the new paradigm of the heart to fully birth, but we certainly are going to see major change in our lifetime, major strides being taken into the awakening of humanity, the awakening of the heart. So we give thanks for this amazing opportunity, and we give thanks for the opportunity to be together today. So before we close our opening prayer, let's take a moment to send some blessings and love and light to Mother Gaia, to the natural world that is suffering at the moment, all the places where there's pollution, destruction, all the animals, plants, and people who struggle for any reason because of natural disasters or war or hunger, illness or poverty or spiritual lack or material lack, whatever it is, we send a blessing from this field of love to all life, Mother Gaia herself. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Alalaho. And when you feel ready, I invite you to slowly come back, bring your awareness back, and to start to wiggle your fingers and toes. And slowly begin to open your eyes and move your body a little bit. Oh. All right. Well, welcome again, everybody. As I mentioned, we have one main topic today with some subtopics. And before we start, I need to preface this topic by by acknowledging that it may be a little bit challenging. But I got very clear guidance to talk about this. And again, the topic is, what is the role of censorship in the Great Awakening? So it may bring up some shadow for you, but I want to invite everyone to remember that shining a light on the shadow is always a very productive thing. And at Core Light, we never shy away from shining a light on the shadow. And I think for some people, talking about this subject will really be a great relief. And for maybe many people, it will be a mixture of things. You know, it might bring up shadow, but it will also probably create some relief by just shining a light on the subject and transmuting it so that it's no longer a shadow. It's always very healing and relieving. Okay, so the news about censorship has been coming out more and more over the past few years, and it's especially up right now. So as people on a path of self-discovery, meaning looking at ourselves in the mirror and discovering the self with a capital S, which is that divine essence that we all are, it's important for us to explore this topic, because censorship is about suppression, which means shoving something into the unconscious, and making the unconscious conscious is what the path of spiritual awakening is all about. And so that's at the heart of what we're doing today, and it's what we do at Core Light in general. So today we're going to shine a light, a spiritual light, on this shadow of censorship in the world, which is an important part of the global awakening. And we'll also shine a light on the role of our own inner censor in our own personal awakening. That's one of the other topics for today. And since today's discussion is about shining a light on the shadow, before we get started, I invite you to make this an exercise in practicing witnessing. And I know that most of you know about witnessing, so I'm not going to spend a long time talking about what witnessing is. So I just invite you right now, whether you're familiar with it or not, I just invite you to take a moment, close your eyes, and just call in your witness self right now. Let's just do this exercise together. I'm sorry if you've already come out of your meditation and you started multitasking, but just bear with me, please. Just take another minute here. Just take a couple of long, slow, deep breaths. Call in your witness. And the witness is remembering who we truly are. It is remembering that we are pure awareness, pure light, pure love, pure consciousness. We are not the thoughts. We are not the emotions. We are not the judgments. We're not the body. We're not any of these things. These are the transitory things of the earth. And we allow all of this emotion and judgment and thought to pass through us. And this is our neutral observer, we call it, or some people call it the gentle observer. And just observing what's happening in your body, in your mind, in your emotions from this place, it just allows us to suspend judgment just for a few moments There's no right and wrong about any of this. We're not judging anything. We're not saying something is bad and something else is good. None of that. We're just shining a light on a shadow, just taking a look at what this is. That's all we're doing today. So we can approach the subject with a sense of lightness and even humor at times, if possible. And we can just allow it to be what it is. So just breathing and relaxing and remembering who we truly are. This witness self is our awakened self. So you just call that part of you in. And I'll prompt you periodically through the call to remember the witness self and call that witness self back in if you start feeling judgments or shadow arising. Because we're just observing right now from a very neutral place without judgment. Thank you. And if you're new and you don't know what the witness is, I spoke a lot about it on the November 2022 Spiritual Weather Report call. So that's available on our free resources page at corelight.org. And it's on YouTube. There's also a chapter written about the witness in our book, Leslie's and my book, The Marriage of Spirit, which is available on our website or on Amazon or anywhere. So if you want more information about that, you can check that out. Okay, so there are plenty of important questions we need to ask about censorship, and we'll look at some of them today. And I think maybe the first ones, and maybe the most obvious ones, are whose voices have been being censored and why? And who's censoring them and why? And before we really get into the topic, I guess I need to say that this is not, I just want to be super clear here. This is not about politics. This is not about one political party or a political leader or anything like that. It's never about that on these calls. We're looking way, way beyond that. That would just be the surface appearance, just one side of a coin, so to speak. So we're really talking today about the whole system that we live in. It's a system of separation. So please, I don't want you to think that I'm alluding to a person or a party or one side of a coin. That is not at all what we're doing today. I know that it's a very contentious time on planet Earth, and it's not my intention to, you know, stir up division or separation at all. We're just trying to examine this aspect of the system of separation. So again, we're viewing this from the witness self. Okay. So to answer those questions of whose voices have been censored and why, and who's censoring them and why, first I just want to talk a little bit about censorship in general, what it is. I would say it's about silencing voices, silencing certain beliefs. And there's a long history of this over many thousands of years. It's really been a significant part of the system of separation or system of patriarchy, whatever you like to call it. But, 6 to 10,000 years of this system. And just as a reminder, the system of separation is characterized by learning lessons about power. It's associated with the third chakra, the solar plexus chakra, which is about power in the third dimensional world. And some would say that this time has been about learning lessons about the abuse of power. That's another way to look at this. And there's an analogy here that I love, which I'll just share. You've probably heard it before, but it's with children who are in their terrible twos. If you've ever been around a two-year-old, you know what I'm talking about. We need to let toddlers learn about destructive behavior. We can see that they have great joy in tearing down the block of towers. Excuse me, the tower of blocks. Sorry. they love creating as well, you know, creating the tower. Usually they like watching you create the tower, and then they like to tear it down. So during these last 6 to 10,000 years, humanity's been learning our own lessons about power and the abuse of power and creation and destruction, just like we're in our terrible twos. So it's totally fine. It's totally normal and important. There's no judgment about this, even though it's been a very challenging and painful time in so many ways. And so now it's time for humanity to move out of that phase and into the new paradigm of the heart, which is characterized by love and by all the aspects of the fourth chakra, the heart chakra. So we're moving as a collective out of the era of the love of power and into the era of the power of love. Okay, so let's get back to the topic. I'm sorry, but I think that kind of overview is really important to help us maintain the witness around what could be a very challenging subject. So I'll probably do that throughout the call just to bring us back into the bigger picture. So some of the more famous examples of censorship in human history are things like book burnings and, you know, other forms of very extreme kinds of repression that took place I think of three specific examples of periods of history. One is the Spanish Inquisition. One is Nazi Germany. And another one is apartheid South Africa. And there's so many others. There are plenty of others. But I just thought for today, let's just stick with these three examples. I think it'll help focus the discussion just a little bit. And again, I'm not judging. This is like we're just observing here. We're just taking a look at all of this from a witness place. So these examples are where it's easy for us now to look back and say, well, of course, you know, that was terrible, that was bad, that was wrong, and those governments or you know, that religion or those authority figures who they were trying to control people, they were trying to consolidate their power, or you know, they were acting out of fear, and it was all about them having power over other people, dominating, manipulating, controlling people whose beliefs didn't conform with theirs. And so now it's really easy for us to look back and say, well, that's just not fair. It wasn't right. But I think when it was actually happening, there were enough people going along with it, sometimes maybe even the majority of people going along with it, that it made everybody else afraid to speak out against it. And I think that's mainly because as humans, we're designed to conform. I think conforming is hardwired into us. It's hardwired into our brains and our bodies. The brain is specifically built for survival, and one of its main purposes is to help us survive. There's this primal part of us that believes we need to go along with the tribe to survive. And it used to be true that you needed the tribe for your survival. And if you got shunned by the tribe or you somehow ended up on your own, your chances of survival were slim. So it would be that part of us that thinks we shouldn't break from what the rest of the tribe believes, because if we go against the groupthink, we'll be ostracized and we'll be cast out of the tribe, and then we'll die. So the brain tells us to just go along with it because we're afraid. We're afraid of death. We're afraid we're going to die if we don't do that. And in those examples, Spanish Inquisition, Nazi Germany, apartheid South Africa, and in all, you know, probably every single example through history you can think of, but if some people were brave enough to speak out against it, there was such a witch hunt against them, and they were banned or jailed or tortured or killed, and maybe even all those things. So again, this is a collective memory, and it reinforces what the brain's survival mechanism tells us. Don't be different. Don't speak out. You need to conform. You need to be like everybody else. Just obey. Just go along with whatever the tribe believes, because if you don't, you'll get ostracized and you'll die. And so now, in retrospect, it's really easy to see how the book burning and the repression of ideas can happen. And it's also easy to see how it didn't work, right? That kind of censorship may last for a little while, but eventually it fails. Always. And this topic always brings up my favorite Gandhi quote that I wanted to share with you, so let me get it out here. I want to read it to you. This is from Gandhi. When I despair, I remember that all through history, sorry, it makes me emotional. When I despair, I remember that all through history, the way of truth and love have always won. There have been tyrants and murderers, and for a time they can seem invincible. But in the end, they always fail. Think of it. Always. So we know what happens with censorship. It doesn't work. It never works. And it might work for a time. But it's like a lid on a pressure cooker. Whatever gets suppressed at some point explodes. And this reminds me of a very funny scene from the movie Searching for Sugar Man. I don't know how many of you have seen that. I wonder if you have. It won the Oscar for Best Documentary in 2013, Searching for Sugar Man. If you haven't seen it yet, I highly recommend it. It's one of the most extraordinary stories that you could ever imagine. And it's about a popular singer here in South Africa in the 1970s. His name was Rodriguez. And some of his music was banned by the apartheid government. And in the movie, the man who produced the records gets interviewed. And he talks about how Rodriguez became so popular, partly because the music was banned. Some of it was banned. And I remember he laughed and he said, you know, that's just what happens when you tell people something is banned, especially young people. It's like, oh boy, it's banned. Now we really want it because we're not supposed to have it. And I'm sure we can all remember being a teenager, you know, being told you can't have something or you're not supposed to do something. And there's just this, it just suddenly there's this magic allure to whatever it is that's forbidden. I remember that well. So anyway, that's the human condition. If you want something to explode and become really popular, then you censor it. So it might work for a little while, but in the end, you're really ensuring its popularity. So I think we can all remember, you know, if we get depressed when we see censorship happening in the world, we can remember this principle. So the three examples we're talking about are pretty extreme and very black and white, and no pun intended, I mean, you know, with regards to apartheid. But in retrospect, it's really easy to, what I mean by black and white is it's easy to see what happened. It's easy to be able to make judgments about all three of those examples. But I think when you're in it and when you're living it, it's not so easy for everybody to see. And if it were easy to see at the time, it wouldn't happen. So I think there were probably really good arguments that appealed to you know, the masses of people at the time that convinced them that that repression and censorship were a good thing. And so a lot of people went along with it because they thought they were doing the right thing. And these arguments are always fear-based, right? It's always about protecting people. It's always about keeping people safe from whatever they fear. So, for example, with the Spanish Inquisition, it was to stop the devil. It was to eradicate evil. So they tortured and they burned and, you know, persecuted millions of people over like a century. And they were mostly women, and their crimes were things like practicing natural medicine and working with herbs. And these were the midwives. They were the healers. They were the mystics of the time. So it may seem ridiculous to us now, but it didn't to them at the time. And the reason for it was the fear and the hatred of the devil and to protect people from evil. So it was all about protection, all about keeping people safe from something that they feared and hated. And it was similar with Nazi Germany and with apartheid South Africa. The reason for censorship was to protect the general population from ideas that didn't conform with the ideas of the mainstream segment of the population. So like with Nazi Germany, it was mainly about the fear or the hatred of Jews and homosexuals and basically anybody that they believed weren't Aryan enough. And with apartheid, it was the fear or the hatred of non-whites, which were the blacks and the Indians and anybody of mixed race. And so all of those people were persecuted. And in both cases, anybody who spoke out against the repression of those groups were also persecuted. So I think it's important to recognize that any form of censorship always has to do with some kind of underlying fear or hatred associated with it. And it's about trying to protect us and keep us safe from whatever we fear or hate. And the people who advocate for the censorship or just go along with it, they may not consciously have ill intentions. They just think it's for some kind of protection and it's for the common good. I mean, I'm sure there are others as well who have nefarious intentions, but I think most don't. They're probably not conscious of the fear and the hatred underlying the censorship. And fear and hatred are things that most people just don't want to look at. So we tuck those things away, and that's what we call the unconscious. You know, we bury things there. That's the unconscious. So with the censorship that we're experiencing lately, I think it would be a great exercise to take a look at this and examine what's happening inside us and also in the collective. And there's a huge amount of spiritual power in naming the fears around this. What are we afraid of? What are we trying to protect? So by asking questions like that, we're making the unconscious conscious. And so as I meditated on today's call, I thought at the end of the session, we could do an exercise together around this that I think will create a healing. And I want to add, even if you're somebody who doesn't pay much attention to the censorship that's been escalating these past few years, maybe you're not really in favor of it, but you don't know what you can do about it, or, you know, even if you're aware of it and you're against it, this is still an important exercise. The reason it's important, even if you're not actively part of the censoring, is because just in general, it's a metaphysical truth that when we shine a light on the shadow, even if it's not our own necessarily, we create a shift in consciousness that has an effect on the collective. So we'll do the exercise just a little bit at the end of the call, but before we do, I think another really important point to talk about with censorship is that it's a very slippery slope. Because once you open it up, then you've got to decide what gets censored and what doesn't get censored. And who gets to determine what's censored. And that is what opens a door to totalitarianism. And so I think that's one of the main reasons that censorship doesn't work. So before we go any further, this is just my little prompt to everybody. How's your witness doing? Are you witnessing? Are you breathing? Let's stop for a moment. Take a breath. Remember who you are and just consciously monitor your thoughts and your emotions, what's happening in your body. And just remember to let it all pass through and know that's not who you are. If you're feeling some shadow come up or judgments or whatever, just allow it to pass through. You don't need to do anything about it. Just be aware of it. Just remember that your pure awareness and the thoughts and emotions are passing through you. Okay, I'm going to continue trusting not too many people are hanging up the phone or turning off the recording. So I know some of the arguments in favor of censorship nowadays include things like, well, what about hate speech? You can't allow hate speech. You have to stop that, don't you? Or what if it's speech that threatens somebody's safety in some way, or it threatens the whole country, or it threatens the world? You've got to censor that, don't you? And, you know, of course, if somebody's saying they're going to break a law, like, they're, you know, killing somebody or something really serious like that, then they've got to face the consequences of the law. But stopping anybody from sharing ideas or information is a very different thing. If there's no law being broken, and if somebody is just expressing their opinion about something, no matter how much we may not like it, or no matter how wrong or hateful it might seem, that's called free speech. And as souls, that's one of the main reasons we incarnate. We come into this world to experience freedom. So granted, depending on the time and place we incarnate into, there are varying degrees of freedom and lack of freedom. I keep thinking, the whole time I was sort of meditating on what to talk about today, I was remembering that Monty Python skit about the Spanish Inquisition. I don't know if you've seen that, but you can just put it into YouTube search engine, Monty Python Spanish Inquisition, and it's one of the funniest skits ever performed, I think. So anyway, I think it's important not to censor people, but to let them speak. It doesn't matter if we believe they're right or wrong. They need to be allowed to speak. And this is something that we're all learning as part of the Great Awakening. Because, and here's kind of one of the main points of today, because we're all learning to develop our discernment. That's the key. Discernment is the key. So people need to be allowed the freedom to speak, and we each need to take responsibility for developing our own discernment as to whether or not what they're saying has any validity for us or not. So I want to get to the exercise, but before we do, I want to talk about this subject for a bit, the power and the importance of discernment. And actually, even before I talk about discernment, let's do another check-in. That was a big piece there. So how's your witness? If you're feeling uncomfortable, you're feeling agitated, just inviting you to pause for a moment, breathe, call in your witness again, just very gently call in your higher self or your spiritual guides. Take some long, deep breaths. Remember who you are. Just observe what's passing through you, all the thoughts and emotions, and let them go. And if you're listening to the recording in the future, you can always press pause and breathe and come back later. And just remember, for all of us, live or in the future, this is a great practice for witnessing today. Just allowing whatever I'm saying to pass through you. You keep what works for you. You let the rest go. Okay. So we'll talk for a little bit about discernment. So discernment is a kind of wisdom or insight. It's an inner knowing. It's the ability to see into the true nature of things. Discernment can come from experience. It can come from intuition. It can be given to us as a gift from spirit. And I think our ability to discern develops along with our spiritual maturity. I think that's why discernment is one of the key abilities that we're developing as a species. It's a critical aspect of the Great Awakening that's happening on the planet right now as we transition from this, as I described, the age of separation into the new paradigm of the heart. Because when we're living in separation, we project our power onto an outside authority. It's when we need somebody to tell us what to do, what's true, what's not true, what to believe, what not to believe. I just flashed on that TV show from the 1950s, Father Knows Best. I'm dating myself, but I remember seeing the reruns of that show in the 60s when I was a kid. And it's such a great metaphor, you know, Father Knows Best, right? It maybe one day somebody will make a show called Patriarchy Knows Best. I'm old enough to remember that in the 1960s, most people still believed that the government didn't lie to us. I know I'm dating myself, but I remember the Watergate scandal in the early 1970s. And when that happened, it was a milestone moment where suddenly people realized that people in positions of power lie. I mean, what an innocent time, right, to think back on that. I don't know how many of you listening can remember that, but I sure do. And there's been this growing cynicism ever since there. And that's sad, you know. It's sad, it's disappointing, but I think it's also part of this maturing process as a collective. We don't need to be cynical about it. We don't need to feel jaded about it all the time, but I do think we need to wake up to the fact that it's unhealthy and irresponsible to project our authority outside of us. That's an aspect of the old paradigm that is important to recognize for what it is. That specifically, that projection of our authority and not taking responsibility, that's the victim, tyrant, savior consciousness that we talk about a lot on these calls every month. When we feel powerless, when we feel subservient, then we're projecting our own power outside of us. We're blaming the tyrant. We're looking for the savior. We want to be rescued. We want to be told what to do. So instead of being limited by that, that victim, tyrant, savior consciousness, it's time for us to take back our power and our authority and to practice discernment. And that includes critical thinking so that we can make our own decisions based on our own inner knowing. So we're on this journey. We're on this journey of learning to take our power back. And that includes practicing discernment about what other people's true motivations are. We can't just blindly trust that everybody has our best interests at heart, especially people in positions of power. So if we're looking for an outside authority, whether it's a person or it's an institution or whatever, to tell us what's right and wrong and what's good and bad, and to protect us from speech that can potentially harm us, then we know we're living in that system of separation. And then we can expect the victim, tyrant, savior dynamic to continue to play out. We can expect more control dramas. We can expect to just keep going around and around with all of that until we're ready to take responsibility, till we're really ready to take our power and authority back. So how do we practice discernment? And how do we know if we're discerning truth or not? So like I said before, I think it's a kind of wisdom and insight that can come with experience or from developing our intuition, or it can be a gift from spirit. But it always goes hand in hand with developing our spiritual maturity. And that's the path that we're all on. And I think when we hear truth, some part of us knows deep inside of us. You know, it resonates in the body and in the emotions. It's like we've got our own innate truth barometer that's naturally built inside of us. And it works like a tuning fork. And when we hear somebody speak the truth, it resonates inside us. It's like that principle. When you strike a tuning fork near a piano, the piano strings that are the same note as the tuning fork start to vibrate. So it's the same with truth for us. We feel it vibrating in the body. So like, for example, we feel it in the body and the emotions. Sometimes we feel like we're going to cry, or we get emotional in some way, and that's a sign. Or sometimes, have you ever gotten the shivers when you hear the truth, or the goosebumps? Some countries it's called goose flesh. You know what I mean? Some of us have something called claircognizance, and that's where we know that we know something. And we don't know how we know what we know, but we know what we know what we know. And that's like a gut instinct. It's somehow we feel it deep inside, deep in our guts, in our bones, in our cells. It's hard to describe. So I guess I wonder how many of you have that. If you're aware of that, if you use that skill, that inner barometer that we all have. Feel free to share with me if you want to write to me about this. I'd love to hear from you. courses@corelight.org. Love to know how your inner truth barometer is doing these days. Okay, so there's another important topic before we do our exercise. I think as long as we're talking about censorship, it's important to bring up the issue of our inner censorship. So we all have an inner censor, and that's our preconceived ideas. It's our rigid belief systems. It's any kind of limited programming that we've been given. So, in other words, we'll allow in new ideas, but only so far. And then when the new ideas start pushing on our boundaries a little bit too much, we stop and we censor out those other voices and those other ideas. It can feel scary because sometimes when we stretch those limits, it feels like our worldview is shattering. You know, it's like the foundation of our reality begins to shake when that happens, and that's scary. So I just want to acknowledge it takes courage. It takes courage to go further, to go beyond the known and the familiar. It takes bravery to face new ideas that might rock our world. It takes bravery to allow speech that we might judge as bad or wrong or even evil. But I think if we've got a very solid foundation, we know who we are, we know that nothing can really harm us, especially not listening to somebody else speak about their own ideas, then we can allow others to speak without fearing them. So along those lines, it's a great time to practice what I talk often about on these calls, and that is neither believing nor disbelieving. If you want to develop discernment, practicing neither believing nor disbelieving is really important. Because then you can allow anybody to say whatever they want without censoring them, whether it's inner censoring or outer censoring. And you can just sit with whatever they said and feel into the vibration of it. And you know you can't be harmed by it. And so you can practice discernment in that way. It's very empowering. This is an incredibly empowering way to be in the world right now because there's so much manipulation going on, so much confusion. You know, it's really hard to know what's true and what's not true. I'm not sure anybody really knows everything that's going on. It's crazy. But just speaking personally, I find it very helpful and empowering to listen to all sides, because then that I get to do these practices, right? I get to practice neither believing nor disbelieving. I get to practice witnessing. I get to practice using my discernment. I get to practice being comfortable with the unknown, right? And with things like paradox and formlessness and these qualities that can be uncomfortable sometimes. So even though we're in a really challenging time because nobody really knows what's true and what's false and what's a manipulation, this is a fantastic time for spiritual growth, and it's a perfect time for spiritual empowerment. We have this amazing opportunity right now to evolve. So those are all great practices. They all help with taking our power back. And a lot of this practice is about witnessing, like we've been talking about. When we develop the witness, we develop our discernment and our ability to be okay with what is and just to appreciate whatever is happening in the moment and to move through whatever fears or emotions or whatever might be arising. And that reminds me, there's an analogy I wanted to share with you today. I've shared it before, so please forgive me if you've heard this already, but it's a good reminder. It's to remember that the walls of the ego are made of fear. So it's natural that we would feel scared when we're pushing the walls of the ego's limitations, right? When we're moving through that limited programming that lines the ego, limiting beliefs, let's say. So the metaphor has to do with the lifeguards in Australia at the beaches. They used to put up nets to protect the beachgoers from sharks. And they found that the nets didn't work very well. So they tried something new. They put a perforated pipe down on the seafloor, and they pumped air through it, and a wall of bubbles came up, and they found that sharks wouldn't go through it. Sharks would come up to the wall of bubbles. They'd see the wall of bubbles. They would think it was a solid wall, and they'd turn around and go back. And the dolphins were not fooled. The dolphins are too smart. They would go right through. But it's such a great metaphor. I love that metaphor. Because it tells us that when we approach the boundaries of the ego and we feel afraid of new ideas, or we feel afraid of, you know, whatever the inner sensor is telling us, we can remember this analogy. It's just a wall of bubbles, and we can go through it, and we'll be okay. And this is practicing bravery. This is practicing courage, developing those qualities. So I hope that's helpful. I love that metaphor. It's always helpful for me to remember that. I hope it's helpful to you too. So let's talk about that for just a minute. I just like we've been talking about developing our witness and our capacity for discernment are part of the Great Awakening. I would also add that it's part of the Great Awakening to develop our courage. And courage is a heart state. It's even in the word cor, C-O-R, is the Latin root for heart, and it's in all the Romance languages, words for heart. For example, cœur is the French word for heart. And courage can only be developed by facing our fears. So facing fears is a really good thing. And I think it's like as souls, we agreed before we incarnated that this would be a lifetime where we'd get to face quite a bit of fear so that we can develop our courage. It's one of the benefits of right now. So I bring this up because it feels important to remember that. And I also want to say it's also true that fear keeps us compliant. We're taught from such a young age to obey and to be good little children and to fear being bad, right? We get it especially at school because it's a system of punishment and reward. And even at home, we get it. Sometimes, especially at home, we get that programming. Especially if your parents, were of that mind for corporal punishment. I remember when I was a kid, lots of adults believed spanking was still a very good way to discipline a child. And I remember my father had this wooden paddle, and on the paddle it said on it, the Board of Education. Oh my God, I think I laugh now. You know, I look back on that and I laugh, but I was terrified of that as a kid. And I remember stealing it once out of his closet, and I hid it somewhere. And, you know, the truth is that it's not funny at all, but, oh, my God. I mean, for all of us to do the processing around that kind of stuff and transmute it, that is such a gift of this time. You know, we're transmuting these ancestral karmas because it's only been recently that we've been discovering through psychology that, you know, you're not supposed to hit children. It doesn't work. It just wounds them more deeply. Anyway, that's a topic for another time. So, and we've talked about it before anyway. So let's move on. I feel like I'd like to summarize. I'd like to finish the conversation about censorship and discernment and just have a little summary so we can get on with our exercise. So I guess we can say that censorship, whether it's outer censorship of speech, where you know it's obvious that certain voices are being banned for whatever reasons, or it's the inner censorship, where we're not able to allow in new ideas because we've reached the limits of the ego's capacity, censorship is a form of suppression and a denial of our unconscious. So I want to say that again because this is such an important part of today's conversation. Censorship is a form of suppression and a denial of our own unconscious. And much of this comes from the desire to be good and to conform and the fear of being bad and wrong. And the desire to be good and the fear of being bad are two of the main reasons that we suppress the unconscious and that we censor. So we censor both outwardly and inwardly for these reasons. And so let's remember that the outer world is just a mirror of our own unconscious self. So when we clear and when we heal our inner censorship, this has a very powerful effect on the censorship that happens in the world. Does that make sense to you? I know that's a very kind of esoteric metaphysical principle, but to me, this is the crux of what we're talking about. It's super important. So let me just say it one more time. It's that the outer world is a mirror of our own unconscious self. So when we clear and heal our own inner censorship, we affect the outer world. We affect the censorship that's happening in the outer world. So it's like Core Light's tagline, right? We say, change the world by changing yourself. So I think we'll finish today's call with our exercise, which is a square. We're going to do a square on the subject of censorship. And I invite you to remember this point, that as we do this, it's not just for our own spiritual growth, but we're also offering a gift to the collective consciousness. We're really supporting the shift in moving out of the paradigm of separation and into the new paradigm of the heart. Out of the power of love into the love, excuse me, out of the love of power into the power of love. Okay, so let's do our square on censorship. And if you're new and you don't know what a square is, it's okay. You can just follow along. It'll make sense. The best way to learn a square is just to do one. And if you like it, you can learn more about squares in our book, The Marriage of Spirit, Enlightened Living in Today's World. And that's available on our website at corelight.org, or it's on Amazon or any major bookseller. And I think the squares are one of the simplest and most powerful tools for shifting consciousness. It's all about making the unconscious conscious, and that is the most important thing we can do, one of the most important things we can do on the journey of self-discovery. So with a square, the first thing is we name the polarity that we're working with, and obviously that would include censorship and its opposite. So what would you say is the opposite of censorship? We could use letting everybody speak, or maybe free speech. Either works. And then the next step is to name the four corners of the square. So what would they be? You would have the desire and fear of censorship, silencing voices, versus the desire and fear of letting everybody speak. So let's name those four corners one by one. So the first one is the desire for censorship, and then there's the fear of censorship. There's the desire to let everyone speak, and the fear of letting everyone speak. So next, we flesh out those corners, and we name whatever we think and feel about that desire or that fear. And it can be anything at all. We're mapping out what thoughts and feelings are in the ego, so that as we map out the ego, we're making the unconscious conscious. It's sort of like doing an inventory of the ego. And then after we map it all out, we release it with a prayer and an offering. Okay, so the first corner is the desire for censorship. And what would you put in that corner? I'm going to be silent for just a moment while you think about it, but think about what you'd put in that corner. If you have a notebook, you can start jotting things down. And remember, if you can't think of anything for a corner, it's always okay to put yourself in somebody else's shoes and you think of whatever reasons they might have for that corner. So in this case, if you can't think of why you'd want to censor somebody, then think of why the Spanish Inquisition or the Nazis or the apartheid government might have wanted to censor somebody. So I'm going to list something. I did the square already. I'm just going to list some things. If you're listening to this recording and you want to press pause to finish your own corner, you can do that. Come back to this, but I'll just list mine in case it's helpful. To silence my critics. To maintain power and control. Because they're bad and they're wrong. Because they're evil. because they're out to destroy what I believe. I would do it to protect others, out of compassion for others, because it sickens me to listen to them, because their energy is so awful, because it's obvious they're trying to deceive people or hurt people or take over control or some other nefarious activity, because they deserve it. So, okay, we could go on, but for the sake of time, I'm going to move on. You can do more on your own if you want to. And remember that the more you write down, the better. You really want to put down everything you can think of, because the more you put down, the bigger the breakthrough you get. All right. The next corner would be the fear of censorship. So what do you get for that? The fear of censorship. And I'm just going to launch in and share mine just for the sake of time. I fear the end of free speech because it's a slippery slope and it opens a door to totalitarianism. What if I get censored? Because there's never been a time in history where the people who were censoring speech were the good guys. Because democracy withers and dies without free speech. Because the answer to speech you don't agree with is more speech, not less speech. All right. So again, for the sake of time, let's move on. And again, you can just spend more time on this on your own if you want to. There's plenty more there. That was just to give you a few ideas. Okay. So for the next corner, let's do the fear of letting everyone speak. And with squares, you don't have to go in any particular order. This is the order I went in. Okay. I'm going to just go ahead and list mine just for the sake of time. So fear of letting everyone speak, because there will be hate speech, because there will be people I don't want to listen to. Because I'm sick and tired of listening to blank, and you can fill in the blank with your favorite, I don't know, politician or authority figure or parent or I don't know, whoever it is, whatever petty tyrant you have, fill in the blank. Put a bunch of blanks in there if you want to. Because there will be people who threaten beliefs and ideas that I hold sacred. Because it may push me beyond the existing boundaries of my ego. Because it's uncomfortable and even scary sometimes. Okay, so we're gonna stop there again for time's sake. Let's move on to the last corner. The last corner is the desire to let everyone speak. And I'm just gonna launch in to my own list here for the sake of time. Because as souls, one of the main reasons we incarnate is to experience freedom. The founding fathers of the U.S. made it the first thing in the Constitution because they knew that everything else in the Constitution hinged on free speech. So that I can practice discernment and grow spiritually. So that I can learn to take responsibility and not rely on an outside authority to tell me what's right and wrong and good and bad. To transcend the belief that censorship can possibly protect me from anything. To learn to take back my power. To transcend victim, tyrant, savior consciousness. So that I can practice being brave and practice pushing the boundaries of my inner censor. Pushing the limits of my existing egoic structure and my walls of fear, which are really a wall of bubbles. So I can practice being like a dolphin and swimming through a wall of bubbles. All right. So I feel like that's the end of that discussion for today. Thank you for hanging in with me. If you're still with me, that means you're dedicated. I appreciate it. I'd love to hear from you. Let me know your experience. You know, if you, we're going to do an offering. We'll do a prayer and an offering at the end of the call today. We have question and answer time now, but I'd love to hear your experience. If you do more on your own, if you have a breakthrough, I'd love to know what you think about this. Please share with me. courses@corelight.org. All right, so let's move on to questions. I want to thank everybody for very kindly writing to me. Whenever you do, I really appreciate your questions and your heartfelt sharing that you send to me. I always love hearing from you. And in case you're new, the way this works is, like I said, email any questions or sharing in advance to courses@corelight.org. And I may not get to answer all the questions, but I do read them all and I get to as many of them as I can. And if it doesn't get answered by me, you know that an answer will always come from somewhere, whether it's, you know, another teacher or a book or a dream or whatever it is. All right. There's only one question today, and that's good because we want to use time for our offering. It's very important to make sure we do our offering. That's maybe the most important part of the exercise. I'm sorry, and I don't know how to pronounce your name. It's somebody from Finland, and I think it's Asia or Aija. It's E-I-J-A. Thank you for writing in. I'm sorry I can't pronounce your name. Maybe send me an email telling me how to pronounce it. She says, I was very close to my mother who passed away on Easter Sunday after quite a sudden and brief death process. Although I have been grieving deeply like never before, I somehow experience a relief in my own body too, like I feel lighter and free. It's as if I'd been liberated from heaviness and a commitment that was fulfilled. I feel opening up to the world as a personality too, and I also immediately found a new place to live and moved house a few days ago. I've heard this time we are in described as a bardo, a time in between lives. I find myself deep in it quite practically as well as energetically. I want to shape my new life consciously and not shape my habits and fill my time unconsciously. Do you have any insights into this type of passage many of us might be in? Well, first of all, I'm so sorry to know that your mother passed away suddenly. I can imagine the grief that you're going through. And I know what that's like to lose somebody you love. It's very, very, very hard. So bless you. I'll keep you in my thoughts and prayers. And, you know, may you have the time you need to do what you need to do and grieve properly. And celebrate her life properly as well. Both are important. So, first of all, I want to say to you, I tuned in on you inwardly to just get a sense. And I just have this real sense of spaciousness about you and your life right now and formlessness and not knowing. And I want to say that that's very important to allow that, to allow the time and the space for that kind of thing to just naturally unfold. So, you know, take time every day to grieve if you need to grieve. Take time every day for whatever your body tells you you need. It may be for grieving. It may be for celebrating your mother's life. The important thing is to just have some time and space to allow yourself, allow the heart, I would say, allow the heart to have its due. Give the heart time to do what it needs to do. And when I tuned in on you, I saw nature. Specifically, I saw woods. And I wondered if this is part of the healing. I wonder if you're connected to some woods or if you know where there's some woods. I get the sense it's near your house. But I just felt like that's part of your healing, is to spend time in the woods. There's something about that that felt really important. And I also got really clearly that writing would be a very powerful exercise for you. And I wondered if it might be writing stories about your mother. You know, that could be part of your healing. It might be a way for you to process the grief and the loss. Because I think the first part of this journey, you asked about how to consciously create your new life. And I think before you can do that, the first part is to finish the old, you know, and that's kind of what I'm talking about here, is giving yourself that time. And writing would be a powerful way of doing that, especially if you feel like writing stories about your mother. It would help with your healing. And like I said, it's a way to process grief and loss. And also to remember, you don't need to know what's next. I got this really strong feeling that it's just going to reveal itself in its time. And that's actually true for all of us. You know, we think we need to move on. We think we need to know what it's all about. And the truth is that there's a divine plan. You made the plan as a soul before you incarnated, and it's going to reveal itself. I'm not saying you shouldn't, you know, do some work to make it conscious and to try to form it consciously, but just remember that part, that it's very powerful to go yin, I would say. Yin is the feminine principle where it's about receiving. It's about being, not doing. It's about allowing. And that's a way of manifesting in itself, a yin way of manifesting. So just to remember that whatever is coming is going to reveal itself in its time. And meanwhile, you can use this time for your healing, for your self-care, for the things that you need to do, that you know you need to do, that your heart is calling you to do. And if you need some structure, you know, if you want to add some structure to this process, then you can create a structure around it by, you know, like have a daily regimen, a daily habit where you include maybe, and I'm making this up, you have to make up your own, but you might include a writing practice for a little time, and you might include time in nature, and you might include time for your self-care and time for processing. You know, doing this marriage of spirit processing is very, very powerful at a time like this. So as things arise for you, you can do squares, you can do polarity lists and triangles. So I wonder if you've read The Marriage of Spirit, if you do that processing work, but it would be helpful if you haven't, it would be helpful to include those processing techniques in your routine. And if you want to consciously create your new life, I wonder, do you spend time talking with your spiritual guides? You know, that's something I always recommend. You can talk to them. You can tell them what you want, or you can ask them to show you, you know, ask to be shown what, for example, what is your soul's highest fulfillment in this life? You can ask those kinds of questions. Think of some original questions. That's just my question. And then, you know, that helps to bring through the information you might be wanting. And writing especially helps with this. You can write about what you receive from your guides in meditation. You can write about what your heart is calling you towards. This exercise is a process of discerning what your heart is saying versus what your head is telling you. For example, your head, you know, usually tells you that you need to know. You need to make it happen. You need to do it yourself. You need to, you need to know what it's going to be. But it's also equally powerful to do it the yin way, which is to allow the formlessness and to allow the unfolding to take place, and make it a more inner manifestation first. But I keep getting, you can do that, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's probably very powerful for you, but I keep getting it's just going to unfold for you. There's going to be quite a bit of magic and synchronicity if you allow that process to unfold. And like I said, I keep being shown the woods, so maybe you can spend time in those woods talking to your spiritual guides there. Maybe they'll answer you. Maybe you'll hear them better there. So anyway, I would like to speak to everybody, not just the questioner. I can't tell you how many people I know who are in this place of some kind of new phase in life opening up. Whether it's a death in the family, a loved one, an illness, some kind of major change. But basically, there's a door closing and another one opening for many, many people. For some, it's bigger than others. And I talked a little bit about this in the last Spiritual Weather Report in February. It's like a wave, you know, we're being invited to surf this wave, which is a new manifestation, a new energy coming through. But first, the first step is that we need time to just be and to heal and to allow the formlessness and to process whatever it is we need to clean up. We're not going to be allowed to start the new, to catch the wave, until we've really processed some of the old, some of the shadow stuff that might still be there for us. And like I said, the marriage of spirit helps with that a lot. These simple tools like squares and just writing, just journaling can be really helpful with this process for everybody. So it's important for all of us, I think, to remember that it's a very exciting time. And Asia or Aya, your question is, your sharing and your question, I think, were so important because it's an illustration, it's an example of, you know, it's a time of loss and closing out on one life and grieving the loss of that. Maybe it's somebody we love, or maybe it's an old way of living. But it's also a very exciting time. You know, we've got this new opportunity. There's something coming. For many of us, it's already happening. For some, it's still around the corner, but it's coming. And so I think it's so important to remember this. This is true for almost everybody I know. If you don't feel it, please don't beat yourself up. Don't think you're missing the wave. It's just that we each catch it in our own time. And before we can catch it, we really need to do the processing work. We need to make the unconscious conscious and do the healing work. And then it will come. And it may even be a few years from now, but it's coming. The new way is coming. It's going to unfold over the coming years for sure. But to me, it feels like there are many people for whom the wave is powerful right now. We're experiencing it. We're ready to get on our boards, or we're already on our surfboards. But if that's not you, I don't want you to feel left out. I don't want you to feel that you get down on yourself, because that's not what it's about. It's that there's a timing. There's a divine timing for each of us. So lastly, I think to close, before we do our prayer meditation, I just wanted to add, I think one of the most important things we can all be doing right now is to stay in a very high consciousness, at least as much as we possibly can. I know it can be a very challenging time for many of us with all the intensity and the changes, but you know, especially if you're grieving or, you know, there's something really dramatic and intense happening in your life. But to remember to witness and process the challenging emotions. And then when you feel complete with those, you spend as much time in the joy as you possibly can. It's so important right now. So we process, you know, we witness the fear and the worry and whatever else comes up. And then when it's complete, we remember to choose love, choose peace, practice the things that bring us joy. And that puts us in that high state of consciousness. And that is the greatest gift we can give the earth. It's basically, that's our awakening. We're talking about our awakening. And Leslie always used to say, the greatest gift we can give the world is our own spiritual awakening. Okay. I think we're complete for today. It's time now to do our offering up of the square and to have our closing meditation. So I invite you to, actually before, let me say one last thing. Before we do that, I just want to remind you, if you called in late, you didn't hear the first announcement, I want to let you know that the Spiritual Warrior Training Course is still available. We did finish teaching it live, but it's available on our website until the end of June. So you can go to corelight.org, go to courses, and you can find it there. You still have 2 months to complete it. There's plenty of time. It's only 5 sessions. So one, you know, you can do one a week easily, or even more than that. And if you couldn't join us live, you can get it now. And I'm just letting you know, because it is going to go away at the end of June. And the live Zoom calls that we did with the Q&A and more information, they're also, those recordings are posted with the course. And as a reminder, you can download all the audios and the PDFs. They're yours to keep forever. And if you already took the course, there's a special discount on the course, and you can just let us know about that if you didn't get the email with those details. And again, it's courses@corelight.org. You can contact us that way. We also added some new features to the course. There's some really sweet little sweet little videos. And we've cleaned up and edited Leslie's audios and the transcripts. And I'm just very, very proud of how the course came out. It's just beautiful and impeccable. And I want to thank everybody who joined. I'm sure many of you are on the call with us now. So thank you for participating in Spiritual Warrior Training, and just letting everybody know it's still there. Okay, that's it. Let's go ahead with our offering now. I invite you to get comfortable. If you're multitasking, this is a great time to just stop for a few moments and sit or lie down. Take a few long, slow, deep breaths. And just let go and relax. Breathing in the light and life force that surrounds you. Breathing out any tension, any stress in the body. We may have stirred up some shadow with this call today. It's understandable. So breathing in peace. Breathing out shadow. Breathing in love and joy. Breathing out worry and fear. Just relaxing and letting go as you breathe. So we call on Great Spirit. We call on our guides, highest guides and teachers, and all the angels and the beings who surrounded us today. on the inner planes in love and support. We make an offering of our square on censorship versus free speech. We give back to the universe all of the imbalances, all the limitations of the ego. We release it from the body. And we ask now that it be taken from us. We've done all the work that we can do, and we let it go, and now we call on grace, divine grace, to take us, take this from us, free us, bring us into the ascended balance state. So right now, this is another exercise we can do while we're making our offering. I invite you to feel into what is the ascended balance of this polarity. This is a triangle. What is a word that helps bring this into an ascended balance energetically? So I'm going to be quiet for a few moments while we all feel into this. So many words come up for me. You'll get your own. There's no right and wrong. The words that come up for me are detachment, courage, fearlessness, unconditional love, there are many more that can fit here. So it's up to you. You can put many words at the top of the triangle, but we call on divine grace to institute these ascended balance states in place of the polarity. Bring us into these higher states of awareness, into the witness, into spiritual detachment, to a sense of forgiveness, surrender, peace, freedom, spiritual freedom. And we give thanks, knowing that this is so. And let's consciously acknowledge right now that we offer this gift of our square, our service, to the collective of the planet. May there be a shift into these higher qualities, into freedom. Soul freedom. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And so it is. Ala laho. Okay, my friends. I invite you to slowly bring your awareness back. Slowly begin to wiggle your fingers and toes. Stretch. And when you feel ready, slowly open your eyes. So I thank you. Thank you all for hanging in with me. I'm very grateful for your love and support. And I send you all my love. I'll look forward to seeing you next month. Bye for now.